Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah. Win some.
Yep.
I can hear how that's going to be right on as it downloads.
Quit
I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, that's where they decided to start it.
And start the show. Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where none of us is as smart as all of us. I love seeing the tagline back, especially on Wednesday. It makes perfect sense.
That's right. That's right. I'm Kyle Rizdahl. Second favorite day of the week. We're getting a lot smarter together because it is blah, 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 blah. God, Kyle, slow down. Because it is, what do you want to know, Wednesday, a full episode, by which we mean 15 minutes, dedicated to answering all y'all's questions.
Yay!
All y'all's questions.
This week, all y'all's questions. Not all the questions, but all the questions from y'all that we put in the show. This week, obviously, the United States, big news. You know, somebody actually made the point, what a big deal Monday was.
Yeah.
Like, huge deal. We keep talking about big news day this, big news day that. The Electoral College can, you know, affirmed, again, the election of Joe Biden to president of the United States. And we started administering vaccines.
We're both having a tough day today, man.
In this country. Yeah, anyways, it's a big week. So, anyway, on this note,
Wait. Can I just jump in there real quick? Did you see this item late this afternoon about all these nurses who found extra vaccine in these vials so we might have more than we think of these vaccines?
What?
Yes.
Really? Yes. Like they just slipped in a little bit of extra?
Yes. Yes.
Like when DoorDash accidentally gives you more fries? Okay.
Yes.
I did not see
the public health emergency, FDA is advising it's acceptable to use every full dose obtainable. So there's extra stuff left in the vials and it would ordinarily be thrown away. And now they're gonna use it.
And they're like, no way. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's cool.
The end is in sight. So continue to wear your mask. Like, just don't be the person who... Don't be John Lawrence who gets killed at the end of, you know, before the war is over in Hamilton. Spoiler.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You saw Hamilton. Okay. Remember, he doesn't know. It's like the war has ended, but not everybody's found out. Anyway, Mark from South Carolina wrote in to ask this on the topic of vaccines. Wow. We are. Wow.
No joke. All right. You got to read this one.
Oh, I'm sorry. why not get the government to pay $300 or $500 to everyone who gets the vaccine? It will deliver money for everyone to help the economy like last year's checks and will drive huge numbers to get the vaccine. Win-win, right?
I'm gonna take the under on that one just because it seems icky. That's all. It just seems icky. Good and all of that jazz. It just seems icky.
Apparently, and people find it icky. Like there have been, there's behavioral research that suggests that actually when people aren't sure if something is good or bad and you offer to pay them, that makes them think it must be bad. And so generally, ethicists are basically like, you know, a form of stimulus could be coercive, for one thing, because a lot of times people who are distrustful in the health system, as we've talked about, are the ones who may also need the cash and vaccine the most. So it gets kind of sketchy. And it just, honestly, it doesn't make people feel good. Most likely a better approach is to, you know, like workplaces may end up requiring it or making things like travel, like you can't get on an airplane if you're not vaccinated.
Right.
So.
I'm fine with, right? If United Airlines says, I'm sorry, you are not welcome to fly on our thing unless you can prove you've been vaccinated, I'm fine with that. But the idea of handing somebody a check, it just, ew. That's all I got. That's my sophisticated analysis.
No, your sophisticated analysis is exactly why it doesn't work right there. Yep.
All right. Well, good.
Next up, Aaron in Alabama. I don't have to read this one. It's a voicemail. He works from home in the cybersecurity industry, and here he goes.
Is there any indication right now that work from home policies will change significantly once we get back to a sense of normal? And if so, if there are going to be a lot more people permitted to work from home, how do you foresee that impacting the economy?
Yeah, so
well, it won't be good for all the little lunch places.
Yep, for sure. And might I recommend to you a story that Marielle Segarra did about going to the Marketplace Bureau in New York to pick up her stuff, and she walked around to visit all the bodegas and the restaurant places and all of those, and they were all just shut down, and it was terrible. So there's that. Yeah. I think commercial real estate is going to take a hit for sure. But I also think it's not going to be as much working from home as we think it's going to be, because people are going to want to socialize. They're going to want to get that, those, look, for my part anyway, creative juices flowing by being around other people. Will we all be back at work all full time like we all used to do? No. But I think it's going to be more than we think it's going to be. That's my gut.
I agree. I think there will be changes. There will be office configuration changes. There will be, you know, HVAC installations. And it'll be sort of like some money goes over here but comes out of here. But yeah, I don't think that we're looking at a sort of a permanent shift to everyone working from home. I think everybody realized, like, oh, turns out that kind of stinks. Oh, thank you. Half and half. Half and half is the jam.
That's exactly right. Yeah. All right, Matt from North Carolina decided, it turns out, to record a voice memo at a very big moment in his life. Here we go.
I'm currently actually hiding out and waiting for my girlfriend to get ready, and I'm going to propose to her within the hour. So that's exciting. But kind of speaking of engagements, since it starts with the same letter, I wanted to ask about eggnog. Is there a reason why eggnog isn't sold in gallon-sized containers or even sold year-round? Yeah, I guess that's really my my only question. Since it's kind of relevant, I love eggnog almost as much as I love Mara. But anyway, love the show, love you guys. And hopefully when you hear this, I'll be engaged. Thanks. Bye.
So number one, man, priorities. Eggnog or Mara? I don't know. Can't really decide.
That
Lordy B.
So adorable, the nervous Lordy energy. B. Like, you know what? I'm just going to call these guys and ask about eggnog because I'm freaking out
that's just a tiny bit right now. That's right.
That's amazing. Right. He, by the way, mentioned in a follow-up email that she said yes. So congrats. The eggnog, I assume, said yes, and also Mara. Because, and then this was a call and expert question. So consider this our wedding, our engagement gift to you, Matt. We called Richie Shuhadi from Producer's Dairy in Fresno, California. He said, it is, in fact, not cost-effective to produce eggnog all year round. Sales go up in November when the weather gets colder. They drop after the holidays because everyone's like, "Woo, that stuff is heavy and you can't drink it all the time." And then as to this question about whether it's not, why it's not readily available by the gallon production.
We have a plant in Reno where we offer it in gallons, but in California, we only offer it in half-gallon paper and quart paper. Really just depends on who's packaging it. Typically, the way that the equipment works is it runs a little slower. It slows down the fillers when it goes into plastic bottles. So it's a little bit more efficient to run it in paper products, but it can be run in either. It's more of a production and plant by plant basis.
I love that. That's amazing. Also, you can't really drink a gallon. Well, it's sludgy, right? It's really viscous, which makes sense on the production thing. But and maybe this is just me, but a gallon of eggnog would go bad before I was able to drink the whole thing, because you gotta pace yourself with eggnog, right?
That's even the little like half quart thing. Close. Yep. I get close with it. Usually it's a couple days after expiration because it's serious. Although Richie did say in his follow-up comments that some eggnog producers offer it around Easter in select markets, which I thought was interesting because I guess eggs. But he said, and I have seen this making the rounds and I think I'm going to try it. He said he loves to cook with it and it makes a delicious French toast.
Oh, that makes total sense. I totally buy it.
I know. I want to buy some challah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. Really all right. We got some time. I'm going to throw in one more extra. You ready?
Hit it.
Okay. Last question on what turns out to be, just so you all know this, the last What Do You Want to Know Wednesday of the year, because we're off next week and through till beginning of January. Anyway, here you go. Let's hit it.
My name's Rob from New Jersey, and my What Do You Want to Know Wednesday question is, this year, as hard as it's been, what are you thankful for? And what makes you feel gratitude this year? For me, a large part of it is a huge thank you to you. Because despite the pessimism and horror and damage across all spectrums, health, society, economy, you reminded me to smile. You reminded me that I could smile. So thank you for continuing to broadcast, for speaking both the truth and your truths, for switching to a daily podcast despite the challenges that I'm sure that you faced, and most of all, for reminding me that no matter how bad it got, I wasn't, and I'm not, alone.
Yeah. Yeah, that last bit. That last bit. Because this is a really isolating time. Are you crying, Molly Wood?
obviously. This should not be a surprise to you.
Oh, man. I started crying pretty much
immediately. Like, excuse me while I wipe the tears with my sweater. Yeah. So, once again.
So look, So two things actually about what I'm grateful for. Number one, honestly, is the acceptance of the marketplace powers that be. When we said, "Hey, let's do this on a daily basis," back in March, they said, "Yeah, let's try that." And number two, honestly, the response. Right? I mean, yes, my family and my dogs and, you know, life and all this jazz. But the response that we've gotten, you know, has been really kind of overwhelming. Because look, I sit here and I talk into a microphone. What do I know about what's going on out there? But it's kind of been great.
It is. I mean, really, the greatest thing about this job is to be able to, and this show, just podcasts in general, there's something so special mm-hmm. about the audience that you build and create and become friends with, and that you do end up feeling like, hey, we're all in this together and we're not alone. And I will say, I am not a particularly, I'm a weeper, but I'm not a particularly touchy-feely person. Like I don't, you know, but one thing I really am committed to is the practice of gratefulness. Like a long, long, long time ago, someone said to me, you can't be complaining if you're grateful. Like if you feel like you're going to complain, mm-hmm. you stop and you say, you know, and it's not, and I never try to use it to, in no way would I say, oh, stop. You got to be grateful for your thing and you have first world problems, right? It's not about guilt. It's about literally like taking a minute every day to say, I'm really grateful that like my teenager gave me a hug, or I'm really grateful that we get to do this show, or that it's eggnog season, whatever it is. Like it really, it is a job and you can do it every day and it will make you feel better. And this right here, like this has gotten us through without a doubt. I think Kai and I can both say wholeheartedly, this podcast has actually gotten us through how difficult this has been. Yeah. As for me, yeah.
It's been an anchor, that's for sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's it for the very last What Do You Want to Know Wednesday of the year. We will do a very quick blow by the giving portion of this podcast, in which we will say we're trying to raise $500,000. I was going to say we're close. We're not close. We're looking for $200,000 more, but you know, relatively speaking, and these are incredibly difficult times. But if you can give and what you can give, please do. That's it.
Yes. If you're aggressive about rounding up, we're over the halfway mark.
That's right.
Very grateful, though, to everybody who's donated. I mean, sincerely, like it's been a really remarkable 9-month period watching you guys respond and support journalism. So thank you.
Thank you for that. One last ask, as we say on this show, none of us is as smart as all of us. So do us a favor, would you? And tell us what you learned in 2020. What has this year taught you? We're going to play some of them back on the final episode of 2020. And I think it'll be interesting for all of us to hear what all y'all have gotten out of this year. Because whoo boy, it's been a mess. Yep. Whoo boy.
But we have all learned a lot, I think. And that's right. Just one last reminder that Friday is our last episode of the year. So hurry up. Send your responses to makemesmart@marketplace.org. You know we love a voice memo. We just love to hear you.
We do.
Thanks in advance. Look, we got the switch.
I know, right? We have agency. We just do it ourselves. Marissa Cabrera produces and directs this podcast. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ethan Barrett is our beloved intern for as long as this podcast is on the radio and the airwaves.
Permanent
and
intern.
The downloads. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also those smart speaker skills as well.
Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe, Ben Tolliday, and Daniel Ramirez. Composed our theme music. Donna Tam is the senior producer, the executive director of On Demand, Sitara Nieves. It would not be a stretch to say we are grateful for this team.
That is true.
So good.
We're just great.
Best team in podcasting right here.
Yeah.
Amazing.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.